Let's turn our Bibles again to the third chapter of the book of Revelation, where we'll close out the church age. Now you remember, if you want to understand the book of Revelation, one of the keys, and there may be others, and I'm not trying to exhaust them, but one of the keys is you must, as it were, put yourself in the shoes of John and go where the Holy Spirit takes him. You remember he is standing in the Lord's day at the time that our lesson is given. He was on the Isle Patmos. We illustrated it, but just to bring you up to date, a very little short thought. Let's say this covers a space of 2,000 years. John is here on the Isle of Patmos at the beginning of the church age. He's caught forward in the Spirit to the Lord's day. Now that's when the Lord will take over. That's not Sunday, as a lot of the fundamentalists and so on try to make it, or Saturday, as the Adventists and some of those try to make it. The Lord's day is when man's day will end. This is man's day. And you remember how he is there, and he hears the voices of a trumpet talking back of him, and turning around, he looks back over approximately 2,000 years and sees the church in its different phases. Seven churches, seven is the number of completion of a spiritual fullness. That's the reason there's seven. And so here we find that these churches started out with that wonderful, magnificent description of Ephesus. And tonight we come down to Laodicea, the last time of the church, and I'll tell you, this involves us very, very much. And it ought to be very interesting, inasmuch as the description here is all you have to do is look around at the world and you'll see this description. Let me read from the 14th through the 22nd verse of this third chapter. And of course, this next lesson, we will see the next view, the second view, and that is the second verse of this fourth chapter. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and he's caught up in the Spirit into heaven. See, the first one, he looks back over the earth scene of the church. The second one, he'll see in heaven, but we won't deal with that tonight. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. That is, if you're overcoming, I may not refer to it again. You would step out of that situation and be in and go into the brotherly love or Philadelphia church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Laodicea, who would ever realize how easily we become involved in temporal things and the world? You think of Israel, back in the book of Deuteronomy, God spoke to them in the 32nd chapter, and he tells them, Jaser, that's what he calls them back there. And he said, Jaser waxed fat and kicked. And then again in the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and verses 7 through 11, he had warned them that when they came into the land that he would give them, where there were houses they didn't build and vineyards that they didn't set out and olives and figs that they didn't set and so on, and they would eat and be full, beware lest you forget who brought you there. I, just in my short lifetime, have watched one of the greatest departures that the church age has ever seen in so short a time. Back at the beginning of this century, as you've heard me tell, and no doubt if you know anything about church history, you have read. Again, it was like the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came on those that were hungry, and new light, new truth was brought to the church that they hadn't seen for centuries. And that is the bridal truth and the second coming of Christ. You seldom heard a sermon that didn't embrace the second coming of Christ. But then, and in my early beginning, and I was, that was in the very beginning of the 30s. And back it was approximately 23 years since the infilling came out on the West Coast. And since that time, but at that time, most Pentecostals met in dilapidated buildings, in store buildings, in brush arbors, in tents, and such like. But as they began to prosper, as they began to reach prominent people, and people began to have money, you began to see them drift away from truth. And tonight, I'll tell you, the Pentecostals are almost more worldly than the fundamentalists, and the fundamentalists are bad enough. But who would ever think how easily we would forget and become involved in all of the things that have made us feel our independence And so the church, as described in this first chapter, first church Ephesus in the beginning of the second chapter, today has become Laodicea, and can best be described in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Let me just turn there, 2 Timothy. And I spoke on it here a short time ago. 3:1-5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, to read that is like reading a digest of our daily newspaper. That's the condition, not just of the world, not just of the sinner, but this is pretty much a condition of God's own people. And that's such a sad thing. But our modern news might well be the reading of this text that I've just read. Though it was written almost 2,000 years ago, only God dared write it so clearly, and He alone could predict. Who could have predicted? It seems when I first came to the Lord, who could predict that Pentecost would be as dead as it is tonight? But it is. When I first came in, the coming of the Lord, as I say, was the theme of almost every. I think of this place here. God bless you, and I'm not trying to be harsh with you, but when we first came in, when I first came in, people came to church, and if they would come early, if they could get there, and the altars would be full. Oftentimes, I've come to church in my first church, first ministry, and I could hear people praying in the summertime in that church 3 or 4 blocks away. They'd all come in and pray. People were filled with the Spirit. I have people that sit here and they haven't received the Holy Spirit as yet, and they don't seem to be under any conviction about it. Don't you realize that you absolutely cannot have God's best? You absolutely cannot be in the bride of Christ unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because it takes the Holy Spirit to get you and take you, just like it took Eliezer to go and bring Rebekah. And precious hearts, we don't realize it. But it's so easy to become other than what God would have us be. And where there is no vision, the people perish. And so, but Christians, you see, want it another way. So we believe Satan, we accept his lies that as the age progresses, things are going to get better. Our inventions, our advancement in science, the higher level of education and so on will solve our problems. But don't you realize we're getting worse by the day? We're not getting better. Man is not going to solve things. Do you think that bunch up in Washington, D.C. is going to solve the problem of today? We're getting worse and worse. Why? They can't do other than they're doing. The solution would lie with Christ. He alone could take us out of this thing. And people don't want him. And so we usually put men and women in charge who couldn't make it in the real world, and they control and tell us what to do, and you know what it is, why parents are afraid to discipline their children. Kevin here, they've told him down at the penitentiary, they've told him, you're not allowed to talk about the Lord Jesus and try to change people. Now, of course, the Mohammedans can, and so on and so on. You can read any of that stuff. Look here. Why, there's an outfit here in town that tried to stop the governor and the mayor from attending a prayer meeting. Did you know that? It was right in the papers. You could have read it if you wanted to. That's how bold the wicked and the atheist are becoming. And so, precious heart, you think the better you educate the natural man, the more deadly you make him. And the more you give him, the more independent he becomes. He don't need God. Well, look, we've got all this modern things, and why, you're like the old farmer. Why, you don't want to go tonight. And like, isn't that awful? Wilbur's dad, out here, he said, why, he didn't want the Lord to come. He wanted to stay here and drive his Cadillac. Can you imagine that? Well, that's because they don't know better. They don't see anything any better than a Cadillac. I have a niece. She was filled with the Spirit almost when I was. She never would yield to God. She lives up there in Washington. And she said, well, Uncle D, she said he talks about going to heaven and putting his feet in that river. She said, that's not exciting to me to go up there and put my feet in a river for eternity. Ooh. You see, if she'd have stayed around, yielded to God, she'd have known some of the things that I know, the thrilling things to look forward to. But you see, lawlessness, you just think of some of the things we read in 2 Timothy. There's no way that I can express the rebellion, even of Christians, to the Word of God, much less the sinner. Crime, divorce, drunkenness, dope, unbelief, atheism, violence, immorality, these are the things that are rampant tonight. So tonight we read these verses, 14 through 22, and we look around at the church that is prominent tonight, and we see an exact product of Laodicea described. Here it is. And this is worldwide. From the almost perfect church called that church at Ephesus, we have come to Laodicea tonight. And what's the problem? The main problem with this church is they say, we have need of nothing. Why, bless your heart. We could say, look here. We have a beautiful piano. We just got a chord deal and a wonderful organ. And we have a beautiful building. And we have padded pews. And we have a gym. And we have a kitchen. And why, we don't need anything. Of course not. Huh? God forbid. Well, now, always before, through the dark ages, no matter how bad it got, there was hope. But now, we have come to that time when he will spew the church out of his mouth. He never said that before. In spite of what there was in some of the other churches back through the church age, he never said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But tonight, it's just about over. And when he spews us, now he won't spew us, you understand, but he will spew the church system. You see, this church age is just a parenthetical time. It's something that he set aside for a while. As we read in the book of Acts, he has visited, just a visit, the Gentiles. And after the visit, he will turn again and build up the tabernacles of David, which are fallen down. And that is just about upon us. You see, precious hearts, he's going back to Israel. Why did he break them out? The book of Romans said, for their unbelief. And he said, you Gentiles, you're boasting. It was because of unbelief that he broke them out and grafted you, the wild olive branch, into the root. You had better not brag, because it was of their unbelief that he broke them out. But here, what are we tonight? Do you realize God's own people scarcely believe God? Well, we've got a bank where we can borrow money, maybe. And we can write bad checks. There are a lot of things we can do. See? And we need to realize God's people, we that are here tonight, how badly do you need him? How much do you need him? Do you feel that desperate need in your life? Why, we get a little ache. Well, there's a doctor that can take care of that, maybe. And of course, if you trust the Lord and die, that's horrible. But if you trust the doctor and die, well, that's all right. You see, precious hearts, where we are, we're in the place where we think we have need of nothing. Now, God knows, I'm sure you know better than that, but if in this place we have that attitude to the extent we do, what is it out there? That's what I want you to see. And so we've come to the time when he's about to turn us out. And once he does that, nothing can ever help. Today we no longer hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which he hates. Do you know that? How many so-called Protestant churches cooperated with the Youth Day this last summer? How many Christians cooperated? How many Christians think the Pope's a pretty good old guy? What do you think about it? Now that's the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Which thing the church at Ephesus hated. And he said, I also hate. I hate that. And we support and promote the rule of the hierarchical clergy. Those men who lust for religious power. And they don't care what they must do to have it. We saw a little of that here. Someone that was supposed to be spiritual was willing to do anything to try to take this church. You know that. Don't you see what was at the heart of such a thing? You see, dear ones, he hates Nicolaitanism. You think of the hierarchy in the Catholic Church, but that's not the only place. These men that are in authority, these heads of even the assemblies of God. It isn't. Doesn't matter what this book says. It's what do we say. You take the fundamentalists. It doesn't matter what this says. We say that Pentecost went out with the early church. We say that God gave us the doctors. He got tired and he wanted to retire. And so he said, well, I hung my son on the cross to save you and heal you and keep you. But you know, we're kind of tired of doing that. And so we just like to turn it over to the doctors and to the politicians and so on and let them take over. Oh, you say, that's ridiculous. Isn't that what you, if you'll be honest, see in the attitude of our world tonight? Think about it. And then Baalism, the doctrine of the carnal and worldly compromise. Think of the preachers in the pulpits that have gotten in there and they're not going to say anything that's going to offend you if you've got a little money. Don't you know that? And who are the board members? Who are the elders? You ever see him pick out some poor guy? Well, dear hearts, Thyatira leads up to this false doctrine as it teaches even believers to turn from God and the pure gospel of grace and corrupt the word with a religion of works, ceremonies, holy days, and so on. Right now, we're in so-called Lent time. That's nothing, the world, but just flesh. Virtually the entire church merges in organizations and professing Christendom as we have Laodicea. Last week, I was invited. You'd be surprised some of the invites I get. I was invited to cooperate with a prayer for peace. Now on the outside, that sounds wonderful, don't it? But do you know who is getting that thing up? Christians, Jews, Buddhists, and Mohammedans. Huh? You mean just a bunch of unbelievers? God-haters. How could anyone call themselves a Christian and cooperate with someone that even the religious Jew who says that Christ was just the bastard son of Mary, and the Mohammedan who hates the Christian, and the Buddhist who might say he don't even exist. Now, how could you pray with that kind of a bunch for peace when God says there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked? And do you think he would answer one of their prayers when they don't even recognize his son? There is none other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Don't be taken in with that so-called. They tell me that the crocodile cries tears. Don't get close to him. So now, could you join in such an effort and ask and cooperate with such things? Here the church is described as lukewarm, that is, indifferent. And oh, they have a zeal for organization, for show, for blow, for asceticism. I again think of that recent youth day. I don't know how many thousand walked 17 miles out there to Cherry Creek, slept in the dirt and the dust all night, and I don't know what all they went through. Now, that was real religion. Did you know that? Just a little bit. You go over in India, and there you will see some people who looked at the sun until their eyes turned white. Some held their arm up until it grew that way. Some you'll see hanging with hooks in their flesh, hanging up. I read of one man who would get up and fall on his face, and get up and fall on his face, and I forget how many miles from wherever their place was where they had their big meeting. And he did that as a penance to gain the favor of God. I might preach on it some of these mornings. I'm so glad Luke told the story of the thief on the cross. There's a man. He didn't have a chance to do one thing good. And Jesus didn't chide him. Jesus didn't condemn him. Jesus didn't in any way tell him what to do. One of the most precious times leading a soul to Christ was my privilege to lead one, and I've told you about him a number of times, dear old Brother Giles. And I showed him how that thief on the cross was guilty of everything. He never restored a wrong or made right a wrong that he'd ever done. But all he did, remember me. This day I'm going to take you for 3 days to paradise. And then I'm going to take you to heaven. That's what Jesus did for him. You see, precious hearts, you learn that we're here by the grace of God. We're here because he loved us. He never got after me. My mom got after me and others got after me, but he never got after me at all. He just said, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Oh, precious hearts. How these people were, they had everything, this blowout at that youth day, but they were all indifferent to the gospel, which is to the Jew a stumbling block and foolishness to the wise, the Greek. But it's the only thing God has chosen to use to save men. Paul said in the first chapter of the book of Romans, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And do you realize, precious hearts, there is not one other thing that God will use to save you but the gospel. He wants to save. He wants to heal. Everything is in his Son. So here that church, described as lukewarm, is all about us tonight. The ending, you think, well, they're beginning to educate them now down there. But the ending in the green hell, do you realize he didn't know he was poor until he got acquainted with a white man? Why, he had his blowgun. He had all the monkeys he wanted to eat. He could go out. He had his little loincloth if he wanted it. If he didn't want it, he could go naked. What difference did it make? He had a kind of a poison he could throw in the stream, and the fish would all be paralyzed temporarily. You see, he had it made. And all he had to do was go from place to place, and there's a root down there that he would use to make their bread out of. They had everything, and it didn't take but just a little while to put up one of their bamboo homes and dwellings, and they didn't have to care about it. They just burned it when they left to get rid of the lice and the bugs that were in it. And so they didn't know the condition that they were in until they saw the likes of you and me. And then they began to think, well, look, you know what's happening to them? They're beginning to die like flies. So much like the Pharisees, who would not have had sin except Christ had come, you know, they have shut him out. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If someone knocks at your door, Larry, where are they? Outside. Do you realize that's where the modern church has put him? And do you realize so many times even Pentecostals and fundamentalists won't let him have his way? There's so much of this book that they will not accept. And so they have shut him out today. And so without him, they don't realize that they're sinful. And thus, though he is seen walking in the midst of those seven churches, they refuse to recognize him. He's here tonight in the world, but they don't recognize him. They refuse to have anything to do about him. And so he offers, however, he said, I'm on the outside. I'm knocking. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, he said, I'll come in. And so it is tonight. God is reaching out. He's still after you. You can have him. Now, if you want the crowds, if you want the entertainment, if you want to feel goosebumps, pimples, and so on with the world, you can get that to go out here at Elish Gardens and ride that loopity-loop. Don't you know that? Bless your heart. I'll tell you what's thrilling to me. It's like I asked you to sing that song, Sister Foster's. I thought of her because you had sang that other one of Sister Foster's. I'm having a good time with Jesus while walking with him in the light. He filleth my soul with his goodness and giveth me songs in the night. Now that's the reality. Someone that's going to be by you when death comes. Someone that can take you through the hard times. Someone that can protect you in this world. And precious hearts all of the good things. Here again I refer to Ray once in a while, when his sweet wife and him had that money, making money and giving lots of money. Ha ha! Boy, boy, nothing was too good for Ray. But when he went broke, see, God let him go broke. He thinks the government did it, but the government couldn't do it if God didn't want to. Just like a furnace couldn't burn Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if he didn't want them to burn. Just like the Red Sea couldn't drown the children of Israel if he didn't want them to drown. But it did drown Pharaoh and his mighty armies. See? Precious heart, you and I are safer than a hog on ice. Don't you know that? So, precious hearts, he'll come in. He'll sup with you. You'll open the door. Now the door is here. So this most glorious age closes with apostasy and indifference. Even Christians don't want the Word of God. How many of Ray's so-called friends, can you imagine a neighbor wouldn't, that had been his friend for months? Or years, wouldn't even let his little boys come over and play with his little boys. Now, is that the love of God? Why? Because he's putting them under conviction, that's why. So wickedness, crime, hatred, war, such prevail tonight. As the church denies truth, gives way to unsound doctrines, begins to support the Nicolaitans and so on, who those who stand for the truth are branded as bigots. You know that, don't you? Someone said, well, you might not agree with that hill, but don't try to talk to him with the Bible. Now, what is this Bible for? Is this God's word or the devil's? In a sense, this should not alarm us that it's in this condition. This should make us happy. Sad, in a way, but happy. Happy because this is what Jesus said would come to pass. And this is what the Holy Spirit moved Paul to say would exist at the coming of the Lord. And are we wanting him to come? Note the closed doors, the closed doors, the open doors. But note the words in the fourth chapter. After this. After what? After the church age. I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be. Hereafter, the margin says, after these. So until the church age closes, the next age, chapter 4, cannot begin. All right. Bless your heart. So we've seen the church age. Now, I won't go nearly this deliberately through the next studies, we may just go to certain things. But shall we stand? And of course the altars are open.